There are a lot of new things to talk about on this September edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is in for his monthly appearance to share news with you about this service and to answer your questions and respond to your feedback. Do you have some for him? How about the new look of WPR.org, perhaps? Or maybe the recent program changes? Or maybe you have a question or a thought about WPR signal coverage or operations or fundraising or anything that you have been wanting to know but haven't had a chance to ask. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he is looking forward to hearing from you. Right, Mike?
I am. This is really one of the things I most look forward to in the month. I think about this a lot, Joy, because we get a tremendous amount of feedback, and we really value it and do our best to respond to it. But the opportunity to do so directly on the radio is kind of fun. So I look forward to it. And yes, sometimes you guys are hard on me, and that's all right. I really do value the input.
I have seen lots of favorable comments on the Wisconsin Public Radio Facebook page and the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page about the new look to WPR.org. This is what we call a soft launch. What does that mean, Mike?
Well, I don't know how soft it is because it affects everybody that uses it. The typical term you'll see is it'll say beta. And that's, a computer geek way of saying, well, we're still tweaking it. You know, it's not the final version. And so it does actually say at the top of all of our pages at WPR.org that it's a beta site. But it's live. It's actually in use. And you're right, a lot of positive comments about the look, not completely positive comments about what people are able to find or not find. And maybe that's to be expected because things are in new places in some cases. And we're trying to address everything that comes along and people are contacting us. For instance, we've had about 300 comments on the survey that we have listed there on the front page. There's a little tour you can take to see where the different features are. I don't think I can emphasize enough what a tremendous undertaking this has been. It's been, in some ways, years in the making, and certainly about 9 or 10 months ago, we just really set our jaw, so to speak, and our web team and you and your team and everybody's just been working on this in various aspects, and it really is like launching a new radio station, even though a lot of the elements are familiar. And I want to address one question. I haven't even had a chance to email everybody that responded to me. I happen to be off Friday, but I had sent out an email to our members and others who we have their email addresses. We're telling them about the new site and inviting them to comment. And one comment struck me that I do want to address. Well, why did you have to do this suddenly? Why couldn't there have been some warm-up? Because they're missing the ability to find something on the past website. And the answer is that basically, once you switch, then you're busy working on the current website and maintaining that. And we simply don't have the ability, the number of staff people and so on, to both maintain the old website and to maintain the new. And so we had to kind of throw the switch, if you will. And my understanding from the communications I've got from people who have written to me and then commented back when something got fixed is that the team is doing very well and trying very hard, and they can detect that, to correct problems. That's why it's beta, in fact. The idea of a beta site is that you try to ferret out those things that maybe are a problem. And so we're getting tremendous help from our users as well, and that's great.
Well, remind us why we did this in the first place.
Basically, to create a website that was ready for the second decade of the 21st century, the old website was initially designed in about the year 2000, 2001. And in some ways, it had become a kind of a house of cards that had just – we kept stacking things on top of it as we added features like being able to listen to downloads and more and more show pages and so on. And the technology that we were using was also updated, but it was an older technology and pretty hard to work with in a lot of ways. Web folks that actually have built web pages will understand the idea that in some ways we were coding by hand with that website, and it required people to have a lot of knowledge of the technology instead of the new site having the ability for people to have a lot of knowledge about the content they're putting on there, whether it's for the Joy Cardine show or probably one of the things that we think is most important is that the new technology allows us to be flexible to reach more people. How can that be? Well, it's a style of website building that allows the website to work really well, whether it's on your mobile device or on your pad or your laptop or your desktop. And it should look pretty good in all of those different settings, which was definitely not true of the old website. And how could that reach more people? Well, younger people, more diverse people are more likely to be getting the internet from their smartphone than they are for getting it from a desktop or something like that. And so it sort of creates a platform for us to continue to expand our audience.
I have seen, as I said, a lot of positive feedback on the look. One of the Facebook commenters on my show's page said, "Why can't I find a list of all of the day's programs in one spot?" He said he understood he could find out what this show was doing and maybe what Kathleen's mm-hmm. show was doing or what Central Time was doing by going to their respective pages, but he wanted the, you know, the 24/7 list.
Yeah, there are actually some lists that are like that, and because the new website is still this beta site, I think one thing we're learning is we haven't necessarily put it in the easiest spot to find. And I don't want to go silent here and find it on the web. Yeah. Maybe during the break I'll have a chance to do that. But I do know that we have a listing of all the shows for today, for instance, that's on there.
And in fact, you can go to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or the Wisconsin Public Radio Facebook page. And even the new site, WPR.org, there is a story in the middle column that says, "Learn about the new WPR.org." And if you click on that, it kind of guides you through the different functions and where you can find different things.
Hey, you know what? The new website works pretty well. In that period of time that you talked, I found what that person mm-hmm. asked about. On the website, WPR.org, click Shows, which is in the top navigation there. And then you'll see in bold, right under shows, down a bunch, program notes. And there it is. That's the program notes for today. And it looks like, hey, you know, I'm on with you, John.
Yeah, Mondays with Mike is today.
Right there.
Yeah, maybe one of the things, too, is the terminology program notes. People might not understand that, even though that's what we've been calling them forever.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. One of the things I learned years ago, I was a webmaster, mm-hmm. and I learned that people learn to use your website by using other websites. Think about that. That if you're predictable and have your website function the way that most websites function, that's going to help people to find things. And so one of the sort of reforms of the website here is that this website does work more like other websites than the previous one did. The other had some kind of creative things. Here's a simple visual example. Most websites, if you think about it, the navigation, you know, home and contact us and so on, those are usually either on the top or possibly on the left side of a full screen. And so ours happened to have them on the right on the old website. And so we now have them on the top. And, you know, jury's out, of course, but this is the new website. We're, I think you can tell in my voice, really excited about making this change. And it'll get better with our users' help, and that's already happening.
Well, it's funny. Jim and Cable sent an email on just this issue we were just talking about. "I like the new look of the website, and it only took a minute to find my way around. but I still think it's lacking the schedule at a glance feature. I need to see what subjects will be discussed in their correct order so I can plan my day. I hope to see this feature soon. So I guess he can. That feature is there. It's just it can't be found as easily as maybe...
Well, it's easy. Shows, yeah. Program notes.
There we go.
It's right there.
There we go. So.
But, you know, certainly everybody needs to look around and get used to the new thing. And, you know, whenever software is updated, there's a change like that. Like, this was a funny one I realized looking at Microsoft Word, which I've worked at forever, and this seems to be true. When my kids watch me use Microsoft Word, I use the menus and the words on it, and I use keyboard shortcuts and so on. And they're like, "Dad, click the button, click the button." And then I looked at the buttons, and there's a button that means save. But you know what that button is an image of? A floppy disk. Uh-huh. And so I could sort of say, well, what's that? And they wouldn't really know what a floppy disk is anymore. You know?
Right. That's antique, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. But those things, you know, as websites change and as software changes, you might need to get used to the new things. But we really, one of the things we concentrated on, and this is why it took us 9 or 10 months instead of the 6 that we really had hoped for, is we really focused on trying to have as many of the useful features of the old website as possible transfer to the new. And there may be some things that will come up from users, and we'll add them. Fortunately, the new website is very flexible in a way that the old one was not.
Well, so is there any theme in the feedback that you see any major tweaks occurring on the website?
Usually it's more, you know, that people are looking for something more than is there, and mm-hmm. we'll try to address that. A theme for us in terms of audience growth is to put more of the really great content that comes out of everyday shows and the news and so on and get it on there. So let's say, for instance, Joy, that you and I say something terrifically quotable today, which would be nice. That could be a news item that would be on the website. Now, I'm joking about the two of us. I don't know that I'm so quotable, but maybe your segment the hour before, there was something quotable there that could become a news story. And so maybe if someone went to the website, didn't have a chance to hear the Joy Cardine show at 7 o'clock this morning, they still would have the benefit of learning what was heard on that show.
That's right. And I do want to thank my producer directors, Bill Martins, Christy Taylor, Robin Cherry, and all of the talk show producers who are writing up stories on many of the talk shows. Not all of them yet, because it's a lot of work, mm-hmm. but many of them, whether or not there was major breaking news occurring or not, to tell listeners what happened in a particular hour. And then there's the... not only is there the archived talk show, but the news story as to what occurred, a little bit of a write up as to what occurred, and that's extra work for the producers here, but we think it's worthwhile because listeners are better served.
Well, and one of the things that listeners tell us regularly that's distinctive about WPR, especially the Ideas Network, and that we want to have distinctive about the website, is the focus on our state. And what's of interest to our state. Now, that's sometimes something that's completely national or even international, but it has some kind of a connection to the state. And we do have an ambition to really be the state's best source of news, and we're helped by having listeners give us feedback on what they're looking for.
Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is here to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. Our lines are full right now, but as soon as somebody drops off, you can call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is Mondays with Mike here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up at Central Time between 3 and 6 this afternoon. Coming up after 5 with football season upon us, Rob Ferret and Veronica Rickert will talk with a sports writer about whether the NFL can overcome its demons. That plus the news of the day and much more on Central Time today on the Ideas Network. This is the September edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, along with WPR director Mike Crane. Usually, Mike is with us on the first Monday of each month, but when there's a holiday like Labor Day, we try to get Mike on the second Monday of the month. And he is here to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio's new website, Wisconsin Public Radio's recent program changes, anything regarding Wisconsin Public Radio that's on your mind today. And we have lots of callers, so let's go to Elaine in Colfax first. Hello, Elaine.
Hi.
Hi.
I think the new show Central Time would be much better as an hour-long call-in show. Maybe you could keep 1 hour of the 3 hours as a magazine-style show, because I listen more actively if I can call in, even if I don't, which I usually don't. But I noticed that I kind of space out when it's a magazine-style show, because the callers just are so stimulating. They lead the show. It keeps the guest on their toes and the host, and the callers can keep the conversation away from a prepared text by the guest. And I also think the call-in style, which is an hour-long call-in style, it's more democratic and much more stimulating. And the hosts of Central Time are excellent, and I just think they could, you know, definitely, you know, utilize that format very well. So I wish you would do that, even if it was just, like I said, if you kept one show where you break it up every 20 minutes like you are doing for the whole 3 hours. I used to listen so closely to the show, and now I find myself just spacing out, and sometimes I just don't even turn it on.
So,
I'm sorry.
So, no, that's great. Thank you for the feedback. Let me ask you a question, Elaine. If the hour-long topic was not of interest, do you think you spaced out for the whole hour? I mean, that's one of the things we're wrestling with, is that when we do hours, if it's not of interest, people just go away. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, you know, what's funny about that is because I have an appreciation for the callers, a lot of times something I'm not normally interested in becomes interesting. And I think maybe this is natural human nature, that if you can call in, like if there's a 20-minute segment and there's only one caller, I kind of think, oh, well, you know, by the time that caller comes in, it's not necessarily the best quality call either. Sometimes the best quality calls are as the show continues and ideas move around. That's why I suggest one segment of the hour where you break it up, if you want to do that, because every day I learn so much from public radio. It's like a continuing education, and I do listen even if I'm not necessarily involved in a subject when there is a call show.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the thought. We will share that with the producers, although they're probably listening now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Which is very common with the staff here, is they do really want to know what's on your mind. So thanks, Elaine, for the call.
Thanks very much, Elaine. And for those who have not caught Central Time yet or don't know what we're talking about, what is Elaine talking about, Mike?
So Central Time, which is on from 3 to 6 here on the Ideas Network, is new for us, at least in recent times, in that we change topics more than we do on the Joy Cardine mm-hmm. show. Like this morning, you changed guests at the half-hour point in the hour before this one. But that's probably as often as you might change guests on your show. And Central Time might have 5 topics in an hour in some cases, and some segments are call-in and some are not, and that sort of thing. So it's a real departure for us. And the idea, which obviously, and Elaine's comment helps us to think about this, the jury is out on whether the idea is really going to gain traction with listeners or not, and we'll be looking at this. But that idea is that our lives are very scattered in the afternoon. People are coming and going constantly. If you think about it, in the morning, you get up, get dressed, go to work. But in the afternoon, you might take the kids to soccer. You might run an errand and get the dry cleaning. You might be going to volunteer somewhere or pick up the groceries. And so all of those different activities mean that people are in and out of their cars more and that sort of thing. And so our thinking is that Central Time could basically offer more meat by, more value by having some multiple topics and being able also, and this is a real key, to cover topics that might be hard to cover with a full hour program. So that's the idea, and we're dedicated to trying it out, but these are still very early days. The show isn't even 3 months old. So thanks for the feedback.
Yes, thanks for the call. Ron in Independence is with us now. Hello, Ron.
Hi. My question is, why did you take away the rebroadcast of Prairie Home Companion on the weekend? I think I haven't looked on your website. I don't take the time, but I think you have Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me about four or five times, and I think that show is just stinks.
I'm sorry that you think it stinks. It is probably, along with Car Talk, the most popular show on the station and nationwide as well. But that doesn't mean our individual tastes are different. Prairie Home Companion was really, in looking at the audience response, wasn't doing really great for us on Sundays, the repeat that you're talking about. And so we thought we'd try something different. But we have had a couple of people like yourself let us know that that's a real disappointment. And so we'll be seeing how the new schedule does. And it certainly is a possibility that we could change it up, just as we've changed it back in July.
Now, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me isn't on five times, is it?
Not
Mike?
Five times, but it's on a couple times and in prominent listening times.
Right.
So, in fact, one of the other comments that I've seen go by was a few people disappointed, on the one hand, that Car Talk is no longer on at 9 on Saturday. Instead, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is on then. And on the other hand, people feeling like, why are you repeating Car Talk? It's only repeats now. They aren't producing new shows. So sometimes hard to figure out what's really going to work for everybody because, as I often share with people, radio is a mass medium. It goes out to everybody the same, but we all listen individually.
Thank you very much, Ron, for the call. Here's a comment from our listener log. I am appalled by your decision to move Classics by Request from Saturday morning to Friday. Why did you do this? I was an avid fan of the program on Saturday and now will be unable to listen because, like the majority, I work on Friday. To compound this huge error on your part, we are left with the program What Do You Know, which is not funny and is totally awkward. So what was the reasoning behind this change?
Well, the listeners made a connection that isn't there, which is that classical music on Saturday morning was replaced with What Do You Know. That isn't the case. What Do You Know was in the same slot for quite a while now at 9 o'clock. But Stephanie is doing the Classics by or the shift that was Classics by Request that's on Saturday at 10. And Ruth Ann now is our weekday host on the News and Classical Network. And that was the basic idea, is that Ruth Ann has absolutely loved doing the request show for many, many years. And since she's increasing her time commitment with us by being on Monday through Friday from 9 to 11, she took the Classics by Request with her. And I understand why this listener says, well, the majority work on Friday. And yes, but many, many people listen to the radio at work, too. And people work on Saturday as well. So there's no perfect solution to that. We'll see again. But I know Ruth Ann really takes very seriously and enjoys so much that opportunity to interact with listeners that are making requests.
Speaking of the NPR News and Classical Music Network, there is a new program director for the NPR News and Classical Music Network. Mike, why don't you introduce us to him?
Sure. He's Peter Bryant. And I realized when he was interviewing here that Peter and I knew each other way, way back when he was at a different station even than ours or the one he came from. But Peter comes to us as the program director for our news and classical music service from WKYU-FM in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where he'd been the station manager and the program director. He also has a lot of classical music background. He used to work at WHYY and WFLN in Philadelphia as a music director and host. So we're really excited because there aren't a ton of people with Peter's knowledge and skill that are out there and looking to move to Wisconsin and enjoy working here. He's replacing Cheryl Dring, who many people who listen to that network will remember. And we're thrilled that he's here. Just started last week.
Welcome, Peter. And Zorba Pastor On Your Health has a new producer?
Yep, that's Carl Christensen. Carl also started last week, and he's had a lot of experience with freelance audio and video production. Don't know if we'll be doing Zorba videos or not, but certainly continuing that very popular show and We're glad to have Carl on board as well.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he is here to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback all about Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and tweet us as well at Joy Cardine Show. Jim in Bayfield is with us now. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
So I'm wondering about what goes into reporters, or, you know, like sending reporters to cover things in Wisconsin. Specifically, I have a complaint. I think you could do a better job. For example, the week before the hearing in Hurley on August 15th about the proposed mine, all week you were talking about, at least on the radio stations up north here, that you were going to cover the whole hearing. But then you guys left 2 hours early at 6, even though it ran until 8. There was lots of people that talked, lots of really great questions asked to the DNR, leaving everyone in Wisconsin listening to the radio up here to believe that it was over at 6.
Oh, well, Jim, that's news to me. I'm sorry to say that it is, that I'll certainly look into what happened there. I know it won't be satisfying to say I don't have a direct answer for you right now. I do know that our intention is to cover the mining issues, not only the taconite mine possibility, but also frac sand mining as well. Those are a very great interest all around our state. So if we drop the ball on this one, I'm definitely sorry that we did that. But it is our intention to continue doing lots of coverage of that because we know of what great interest it is to everybody.
Yeah, I should probably not answer for our superior staff, but there was live coverage of that hearing that went on for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. But I think the audience was petering out by 6:30.
So yeah, I'll certainly ask about that and what the thinking was.
Thanks very much, Jim, for the call. David in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, David.
David, there?
Hi, David. Are you with us?
Good morning.
Oh, good.
Yeah, all right. So what's your question or comment?
I have an inquiry about a couple of things. First of all, the Central Time, I absolutely love it. It's got variety. It goes in depth about subjects. And I'm so happy you returned relevance to the 5 o'clock hour. I have a possible tweak for it, though. I'm a baby boomer, and time is very important to me, and so I like a very clear-cut preview of what's coming. And the program has a real sloppy ending where the interview goes right into the news, and they don't have any time or a top-of-the-hour announcer who says, well, next hour we're going to be covering this, that, and the other thing. So oftentimes I'll tune out and find out that it was actually something I was very interested in that came up, but they only tell about one subject that's coming up in the next hour instead of a very distinct, succinct, kind of a short preview of what's coming up.
David, thanks for commenting on that. You're obviously an acute listener because you've picked up on something that they're experimenting with, and that is to try some different ways of moving forward over the course of an hour. One of the worries about the way that we're going to do it in about 25 minutes is that there's a fairly extended period of time between the last content of 1 hour and the first content of the next. And so their idea is, and I'm sure they'll be disappointed that it sounds like a sloppy ending, but their idea is to keep it moving forward. And so that'll be good feedback for them to hear. Thanks.
And you had another question about the BBC, David?
Yeah, I called several months ago, and I didn't realize, Mike, your plate was so full and overspilling with all these changes, so you might not have had a chance to check into it, but I had commented that the BBC had changed their programming during the 5 o'clock hour, and that it was like the dismal news hour section of the programming, and some of the wonderful, intriguing programming that they had was not there anymore. But I did hear it here and there when I'm up late at night. It still exists. And you are also being simulcast with WUWM overnight with the BBC.
Right.
I wonder if it's possible for you to get 1 hour out of phase so that there's a chance we won't get the same programming and perhaps that other programming still exists.
That's an interesting idea. The challenge, if I recall, with the BBC is we're pretty much required to carry it live with a few exceptions sometimes. There are a couple of shows that they do that are really relatively timeless that they offer to stations for using the old terminology that you can tape delay. But most of them are required to be live. And there's a practical issue. Part of the reason that you're hearing the same schedule on WUWM and WPR station, WHAD, at the same time is that we're not staffed at that time. And so in order to do the time shifting, we'd have to figure out a way to get it recorded and do the time shifting. And that feels a little more dangerous than just leaving it on live in terms of the possibility of a problem. So a couple of practical issues with it. I'm sorry it's so dismal, because I'm sure that that makes the morning kind of extra rough for you.
David, thanks so much for calling. Kay in Prairie du Sac is with us now. Hi, Kay.
Good morning.
Morning.
I, too, want to let you know how much I enjoy Central Time. It's just a great show, and I love that it covers a lot of different topics. And I also miss Prairie Home Companion on Sunday mornings. It just seemed to go well with the morning paper and kind of taking it easy on Sunday mornings. And, you know, a lot of us are so busy on Saturdays that it's easy to miss. My other question was, about 3 months ago, I called in off the air suggesting that you feature nonprofit groups for maybe just a 5 or 10 minute segment, maybe 2 or 3 times a month, because all of the nonprofits rely so heavily on volunteers. And it seemed like perhaps if the nonprofit could come in, explain what they do, what their mission statement is, and the kinds of volunteers that they need, they might reach a lot of people who would like to help out, but just don't know that need is out there.
That's interesting. It sounds like an idea for Central Time to consider, doesn't it?
Sure.
Because of the length you're talking about.
Yeah, for that type of a thing, I know we've done full hours on volunteering and nonprofits in the state, and we have actually had shows like that, but we don't do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, and there are certainly many nonprofits that's what drives them is the volunteer effort, not just contributions, but actually people making it happen. So thanks, Kay.
Thanks very much, Kay. Speaking of contributions, Mike, we have our fall fundraiser is coming up
October.
Next month.
Yep.
So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the September edition of Mondays with Mike. If you have a question about anything related to Wisconsin Public Radio, from our recent programming changes to the new website to other operations or services, you can call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with WPR Director Mike Crane about news affecting you and Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have lots of callers. We'll get to those in just a moment. First, from the listener log, a listener of 88.3 in Menominee says he heard the Al Jazeera sponsorship announcement and is very concerned. He says he feels Al Jazeera is associated with terrorism and did not think he would ever hear something like this on WPR. So can you tell us what's up with this, Mike?
There is a funding credit that is running on the national shows from NPR that is promoting the new Al Jazeera America TV network. And I've heard it too, and I know we kind of thought, well, some people may be concerned about this, but some people may know the history of this. This was the network that was purchased from Al Gore's current network, and they've hired a whole bunch of recognizable journalists, people that we've seen before on NBC and on NPR and PBS and CNN and so on. And they're just, I think, like all other businesses, they're a business that is here, and NPR chose to accept those.
Next, we go to Tom in Waukesha. Hello, Tom.
Hi there. I have a couple comments. First of all, in the Waukesha, Milwaukee area, we have no classical music station. I realize we have, if you have an HD radio, we can get classical music, but many of us can't afford more than one classical or one HD radio. There was talk, I would say, about 6 months ago about adding an extra, what they call it, a satellite transmitter and the tower at Delafield, but nothing has been done about that.
I'm not sure, Tom. I confess I'm confused about that. So I'm not sure where did you hear that from us? Because that doesn't.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did. It was about 6 months ago.
Hmm. Maybe if I said it, I was confused about what I was saying, or one of our colleagues was, because there isn't that opportunity now, unfortunately.
Do you feel it would be possible to do something so we could receive your news and classical station in this area? You're cutting out of the largest metropolitan area in the state.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know how long you've been a classical fan. Did you used to listen to WFMR?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
And what happened there, I understand.
Yeah.
Now, this is rumor, is that the person who owned WFMR at that time was going to support the person running for governor, if.
Well, let's not.
That's a whole different topic. Yeah. I don't know about, but what the it's pure economics in that case, and so for us to be able to put a classical station in Milwaukee would probably, given that there are no signals available for us to apply for with the FCC. We'd have to buy something, and that would literally be millions of dollars. And the only way for us to have millions of dollars would probably be to take on debt service. That doesn't seem likely. And so our solution, which is basically to ask you to help us provide the solution, is to encourage people to get the radios, because we do provide it on WHAD HD2. There's a full-time classical channel there. And, of course, you can get the NPR news stuff on WUWM. But the HD radios are now under $100 in many cases, and Tom, what you might want to consider is, rather than having multiple radios, is look into one of the portable ones so you could carry it around the house and that sort of thing. And increasingly, cars are coming with it, too. In fact, I got a car recently, and it has it, and I love being able to get the extra channels. The other opportunity is that so many people have smartphones now, and it's just like having a transistor radio. You can get just at WPR.org, you can listen live. Some people do it that way on their smartphone, or we do have the WPR app that's available in Google Play and in the iPhone App Store. So those are all options. I know, Tom, it's a bummer. I'm a huge fan of classical music myself, and especially when I'm driving, it just helps the drive. I was a couple hours drive yesterday and listening to the various stations along the way. And because I had HD, I could catch that as well. That's the story there.
Yeah. Well, just pressing the point, Mike, why not please Tom and others like him and just put NPR News and Classical Music on WHAD in Milwaukee?
One reason is that WUWM, our pals there, already do a great job with that. And in fact, one of the interesting questions we wrestled with when we learned that Talk of the Nation was going away was that NPR was going to offer this program Here and Now, which was already carried on WUWM. So we didn't think that was really, you know, repeating things like that was a great option. In fact, I've puzzled sometimes. There was an earlier call about how the BBC is on both channels at night. And, that's duplication, that it might be better if we didn't do it. But then again, it means that BBC is available throughout the whole state at night because it's on the Ideas Network. These are sometimes complicated puzzles.
Yeah, Tom, thanks very much for the call. Speaking of Milwaukee, fans of the Capitol Steps, the troop of former and current congressional staffers that sing songs of familiar tunes, but they write new
pop
lyrics
tunes
to them.
And show tunes and so on.
Yeah, they're coming to Milwaukee.
They are Friday, September 27th at the Pabst. And, we'll have folks there, and their stage show is so much fun. And They use they're not just standing there. They do props and costumes and so on that kind of make it extra fun, and I think people will really enjoy it.
Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, here to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and your feedback. Chris in Milwaukee is with us next. Hello, Chris.
I'm sure you're aware there's a high-quality science program called Quirks and Quarks, hosted by Bob McDonald. Here in southeast Wisconsin, I can just barely hear it coming over the border from Canada on 990 kilohertz from Winnipeg.
Wow, that's very good. I'm surprised you received that.
Well, to do it, you have to use battery power, and it helps to have a digital tuner, which is not anything fancy, but as you know, a digital tuner is either precisely tuned or not.
Right.
And even cheap portables have a digital tuner. Anyway, I just recommend the program, if only as a counterweight to pseudoscience and quack medicine and astrology and other counter-institutional nonsense.
I was just going to ask, Chris, do you like Science Friday as well?
Yes. I just hear so much nonsense, even across the public radio schedule. I think there's nothing wrong with adding science as a nice antidote. I don't want to hear anybody censored, but the solution to speech that's misleading or false is more speech and not enforced censorship. I hear so much anti-science nonsense. I think if we added Quirks and Quarks, it'd be a nice step forward.
Yeah, remember we carried Quirks and Quarks many years ago on Wisconsin Public Radio, and to tell you the truth, I thought it went out of production, but I guess not.
Well, it may be that it stopped being offered in the United States. It's the first time I've actually heard the name of the show in a long time, so I had a similar assumption. Certainly something to look at. You know, we have Q from CBC, and so there are programs. Oh, and As It Happens, too. I can't forget that. So it's certainly a possibility. Well, thanks for the suggestion, Chris.
And next we go to Jill in Rhinelander. Hello, Jill. Jill, you're pouring your coffee when we want you to talk on the radio. She's still doing that. So we will instead go to Steve in Wonder Lake, Illinois. Hello, Steve.
Steve, are you there?
Oh, he's breaking up now, too. We're just having a good old time here. Let's take our next caller, Dee in Amory. Hi, Dee.
Hi, Joy. I listen to you 24 hours a day, even overnight.
Oh, my goodness. When do you sleep, Dee?
Well, I leave it on when I'm sleeping.
Okay.
I sometimes wake up and I still hear it. I have a comment about the afternoon show, the 3 to 6 show. It's a wonderful show, but some of the topics are too short because of the news breaks. And I think the news breaks are kind of redundant. They say the same thing over and over in the same hour. Other than that, I can't think of anything that is better. I mean, I listen to, like I said, 24 hours a day, but too much news.
So the thinking there is that for the people that are in and out of their cars and so on, that just having a brief update of the news is helpful for them, at least catching what's sort of in the top of mind, but that is one of those features, to do it as frequently as they're doing it is one of the features they're trying out, and so it is helpful to have that feedback.
Thank you, Dee. I'm glad you're such a faithful, loyal listener.
Yeah, getting smarter even in your sleep.
we have an open line now for you if you have a question or some feedback for Mike Crane, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mike, our news director, Wisconsin Public Radio's news director, Michael Leland, says that later this month, in a couple of weeks, the news department will have the first in a few short series looking at some of the significant events of 1963 and how they still resonate in Wisconsin today. We'll be starting with a series of reports on the Gideon versus Wainwright decision, which required the state courts to provide attorneys for criminal defendants who were not able to pay for their own attorneys. So that and more coming up in a special series from the news department later this month. And let's just talk just very briefly, Mike. We really want to showcase and focus in on Wisconsin news. That's a part of our mission or strategic plan.
It certainly is. And one of the things that is just so striking when you look at the state of news today is that we should be worried about it as citizens, because so many news operations have cut back or reduced. For years, we've seen the reductions in things like foreign bureaus for CBS, NBC, and so on. And NPR has held strong with keeping a lot of foreign bureaus open. But what we've seen in the last few years is newspapers laying lots of reporters off. And the news in the last few years, the most recent one I heard was the Cleveland Plain Dealer was switching to three-day-a-week publishing. And you know, you might ask, well, what's being lost? Part of what's being lost is that typically it's the newspaper who has the largest news team and the ability to dig deepest into the news. And in parallel with that, a big statewide network like WPR has a relatively large newsroom and a capacity to report on things that are of importance throughout the state. And it's our sense that in partnership with listeners who support us, that that's become, if anything, more crucial over the years, is to make sure that we have a distinctive news offering in part because otherwise things aren't getting reported. I bet if you asked Sean this morning when he was on, is it more lonely in the Capitol press room than it used to be? I bet he'd say yes, because there just aren't as many people reporting from the Capitol, for instance, as there once were.
Yes. We will go next to, and I'm sorry, I'm having a difficult time seeing this name because of a computer issue, Myrna in Milwaukee?
Yes, this is Myrna from Milwaukee.
Okay,
hi,
I'm
Myrna.
Sorry.
Thank you for taking my call. Having trouble finding the audio archives on your new website.
Yeah, that's a good point. They are typically right in the show pages. So, for instance, later this morning, this hour should be on the Joy Cardine show page. That was something that we've been talking about, is that we haven't had it quite as obvious as we should. The old website, it was right on the top there, our audio archives. And so it's one of the things we're working on to try to surface those as well. But if you kind of know what you're looking for, it should be relatively easy to find, because you just...
All right. I will keep looking. Yeah. And then another really quick point. It's really difficult on talk shows. Sometimes the caller's line is so bad, and their voice quality is not the best.
Yes.
I'll have different... Is there any way you can control that better from your end, or is it all up to these phones that we're all using that don't necessarily transmit as good as the other?
So a two-part answer. One is, yes, it's your phone. but the other is that we actually do have probably one of the more expensive and sophisticated phone handling systems. In fact, we upgraded it a year or two ago again, because we are fighting the nature of our phone system now. In fact, I was struck by it last night. I happened to have a problem with my cell phone, and I called my mom on my landline. And I was like, wait, I can hear Mom. Mm-hmm. And she can hear me better, too, I'm sure. And it's just that as we've switched to mobile phones and the bandwidth usage is such that you know, they're trying to squeeze a lot of phone calls onto those cell towers, it has definitely degraded what the phone system sounds like, and that is a problem. We do try to address it, and you're right, sometimes it's really tough.
Thank you very much, Myrna, for the call. Well, Mike, next appearance for you will be Monday, October 7th,
sounds
and that's
good.
Just in time for the October Pledge Drive, which will run Friday, October 11th through Saturday, October 19th, just to prep folks for that.
Yeah.
And 30 seconds to go, Mike.
Anything, I got to tell another, the science festival is coming up in Madison and throughout the state, and we've got lots going on, including 45 North is going to do a kind of science festival on the air, and Norman Gilliland and the 9XM players are going to be on Saturday, September 28th, live at the science festival in Madison. So information on the web about those things as they come along.
Sounds good. I'll see you there. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is the Ideas Network.